Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song there tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through now for some time and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua. And looked at the man, first of all, and all that God presented to us about Joshua leading up to the book of Joshua, where God uses Joshua to take the nation of Israel into the promised land, dividing up the land and all that we got to look forward to here as we continue on in the book of Joshua. But last week we looked at the experience of Ai and Joshua and the nation of Israel for the very first time experienced defeat at Ai. And as we studied that, only Achan knew of his sin, and his sin was against God first and foremost. It also affected the entire nation of Israel. It affected Joshua, but his sin was he did opposite what God had told him to do. And in the warnings and the judgment of God, God revealed to them what would take place if they committed and took of the accursed thing. Achan was the only one that knew of his sin outside of God. And I think we ended it last week by saying if verse 6 would have been verse 1, it might not have happened. And it could have been prevented. Boy, when we can prevent things from happening, we ought to do that. Amen. Using the wisdom and insight and the warnings of God, take heed to the warnings of God, and just be obedient. And it can prevent the old devil from getting victories in our lives, and how when he gets victories in our lives, it affects other people, and on and on and on. And so we looked at that last week. This evening, we're going to move on now. We're going to be reading verse 5 down to verse 9 tonight, and looking at Joshua's response to what had taken place, and what I think we can learn from that tonight. So go ahead and stand with me as we read here Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Let's pray. Father, we come before you again. We thank you for privilege and opportunity to be in church tonight. And Lord, we pray now that you'd help us just to put everything else out of our minds. The most important thing we could do right now is to focus on your message. As we've looked here to this book of Joshua and looking at the Bible character that is a tremendous encouragement and a blessing to us, I pray that we would learn from what you have recorded about his testimony. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to receive and make application. Bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Joshua's response after being blindsided by this defeat at Ai. Because that's what took place. Joshua was somewhat blindsided. This is not something that he's seen happening. This is probably the farthest thing from Joshua's mind after the victory at Jericho was to experience defeat at Ai. Have you ever been there? I mean, blindsided. The very last thing that you think would happen, happened. And you're wondering when you hear of it or you see it or you experience it, you think, where is this coming from? What is taking place? Can you imagine Joshua? I mean, can you imagine the men that went up against Ai? The Bible says that those 3,000 turned and was running away, and 35 was slain as they were had their backs turned on the enemy and running from the enemy. They lost courage. And in defeat, it affected the entire camp, the nation of Israel, including Joshua, because he had not prepared for defeat. Are you preparing for the worst? I often tell people, you need to prepare for the worst, hope for the best, but be ready for the worst. If you prepare for the worst, it can't get any worse than the worst. You never know what's going to happen anymore. You get a bonus one week and lose your job the next week. Wait a minute, gave me a raise and now you're laying me off? Didn't see that coming. So many things can happen. But usually when they do and it's the last thing on your mind, you feel blindsided. So Joshua's response after being blindsided, it's recorded for us. And I tell you, if you've not ever experienced something that you never expected to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to come at some point. And we better be prepared for it. I believe Joshua, after this, would have been prepared for anything and everything for the rest of his life. Yeah. The Bible says, verse 5, after they was running, 36 men now lost their life. That's 36 fathers, 36 husbands. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim and smote them in the going down. They were running when they got killed, running away from the battle. They got killed in disgrace. Wherefore, when that was heard and all the people understood what has taken place, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. The hearts of the people devastated. Can I tell you, when this happened, it caused the spirit of the entire nation of Israel, the spirit of the entire camp, to change. It went from, after Jericho, excitement, praise, confidence, courage, fearlessness. I mean, that's where they were at. After the victory, Jericho, seeing God work because of their obedience, doing it God's way, the walls fell down flat, pavement into the city. And it was the soldiers at Jericho were fleeing and scared for their lives, and Israel had the strength to defeat the entire city of Jericho. Excitement, praise, confident courage now has changed to weakness, confusion, doubt, and fear. Seemingly overnight. Wow. They had, first of all, forgotten what they should have known. The knowledge helps you to deal with whatever might take place. And when you have the knowledge that God wants you to have, can I tell you that it might not change the circumstances, might not change what just happened, but it will help you to where you don't lose what God wants you to have, and that is courage. Joshua chapter 1, God knew that they would need this when they went up against Ai. Joshua heard this, got this from God, and then Joshua repeated it word for word to the people. But even Joshua showed his humanity and that he forgot. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." That's a promise with a condition. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." That is a promise with a condition. Can I tell you that victories are conditional? The victory at Jericho was dependent upon Israel's obedience. It was conditional. The victory in Ai would have been conditional. And if you fail to meet the conditions, you can't claim the victory. Be strong and of a good courage. "For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Conditional. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Conditional. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Conditional. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Conditional. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Conditional. "For then thou shalt make," promise here, "for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong." This is what God wants us to have, is what they had after the victory at Jericho. This was the spirit. This is exactly the kind of confidence that every believer needs to live with. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." They met the conditions, and they had the victory at Jericho. If we didn't get the victory in Ai, we should understand we didn't meet the conditions. But even Joshua was blinded to that, and their hearts melted. Spirit changed. The mood changed. Their confidence changed. Their courage changed. Their trust changed. Wow. They had forgotten what they should have known. Don't ever forget what you should know. I tell people all the time, know what you know. This is the reason why you should know what you know. Because if you know what you know, even though it might not change what you have to deal with, you still can be blindsided, but it won't destroy you. You won't lose faith. You won't lose trust. You won't lose courage. Your heart won't melt. Amen. So now go back with me, chapter 7. Joshua's response. Some good, some bad. Some, he conditioned himself. Others, he forgot what he should have known. Joshua's response, first of all, verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. His actions were that of repentance. A lot of times they would put sackcloth and ashes on. This is typical of what they would do when they did not want to turn their back on God. And then they know that they had done wrong, or they were somewhat remorseful or grieved over what had taken place. This was a sign of repentance. It's a good first response. Because what he did to start with, he took serious what had just happened. He didn't understand it. He thought God had turned his back on them. He still did not connect it to the accursed thing. But he knew that God had not given them the victory. And so, repentance is something that if I feel like I've done wrong, I want to confess and forsake so it doesn't happen again. He would not take what had happened lightly. Now, I love that because I find and I've found throughout my years of ministry, some refuse to address problems. See, he could have said, "You cowards, you lost because you didn't stand and fight. Give me 3,000 men. Give me more men that'll go up there and not turn and run, and that'll stand up there and fight." He could have blamed it on the soldiers. He might even have blamed it on himself as far as maybe not listening to the battle plans as I should have. So let's try a new battle plan. And try to forget about the loss. Blame it on whatever you might want to blame it on. But don't repent. Don't confess. He would not take it lightly because it was no light matter. 35 men had died. He knew he needed to address the problem. And so he repents. Before God, he rinses clothes, throws dust upon their heads, a sign of repentance. And I tell you tonight, when something does happen in our lives and you maybe are blindsided, you can't just ignore it as if it didn't happen. Sometimes people just want to ignore it and hope that it just goes away, because you don't want to face the reality of the problem. You just soon act like it didn't happen. Now, we got to be careful, because it's like an ought. When we have an ought against somebody, the Bible says if it's an ought, then you have to go to that person. And you have to acknowledge what you've done wrong or acknowledge the problem and work it out. It's a lot easier just to say, I'll overcome it with love. And if you can and it doesn't affect that relationship, then don't nitpick things. Amen? Choose your battles. In marriage, that's what we got to do. In marriage, you got to be careful that you don't nitpick every little thing. We could go into a lot of little things that might irritate us about our spouses. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell them what you do that irritates me. And I'm confident she's not going to tell you what I do to irritate her. Because we let love cover most of those irritants. But being defeated in battle is no light matter. This was something that could not just let love cover. And if it's an ought that affects your peace and your joy and your relationship with any brother in Christ, then you have to address it. He had to address this. He understood it was a problem for all of Israel. Their hearts have melted. We went from this level here down to this level here in our confidence and our courage and our victory. All the things are taking place. I can't just let this go as if it didn't happen. You've got to determine. But was it something that you need to deal with? You need to deal with it. Don't just ignore it. Because if it's something you should deal with and you ignore it, it's only going to get worse. Amen. It will. Some people do not like conflicts. They don't like to address things. What's affecting your joy and happiness and peace and courage, everything that addressed, and your heart's melted like it did then. No, we have to address it. Praise the Lord that Joshua addressed it. He and the elders, sign of repentance. But then what he did this and how he repented is important, because the Bible says, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord. I love that. He repented before the ark of the Lord. He sought help when he realized he needed to seek help. He sought help from the right source. Once you finally get to that place, you realize, no, this is more. I can't let love cover. This is a situation that I have to address. I don't want to address. I know I have to address it. Then I'm going to seek the help to address it the way it needs to be addressed. And you seek the help from the right source, which is always God. For the born-again believer, it's always God. Amen. It's not that person that you work with that doesn't even go to church. It's not look at one of these talk shows, figuring out what some of them say and getting counsel from the ungodly. He sought help from the right source because he understood that God offers solutions. He didn't want to put a Band-Aid on it. He wanted a solution. The Bible tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his ways, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you realize this is something you have to address, then you must be able to seek the right source of help to address it. That's where Judas failed. Matthew chapter 27. Judas failed on a lot of different levels. Judas had the greatest opportunity of anybody that's ever lived outside the other apostles to be saved. He walked with Jesus on this earth. And yet he never did get saved. And then he made the mistake of betraying Christ. And then he realized the mistake that he had made. And he was very remorse. Judas realized that he had been blindsided by the devil. He realized that. But this is how he dealt with it. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, then Judas, when he had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when he seen that by his betrayal of Jesus, now Jesus was going to be condemned and be crucified, repented himself. You know what that means? He repented to himself. You shouldn't have done that. He never repented toward God. He never called out for mercy. He never called out for forgiveness from God. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, thinking that they'll take it back and they'll let Jesus go and everything will be just fine. That was not the wise counsel. That was not the source that he needed to turn to for help. The source that he needed to turn to for help would have been Jesus Christ. And he turned to the wrong source for help. And when he turned back to try to give the money back and to let Jesus go, he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He's really not guilty and you need to let him free, go free. And they said, what is that to us? We used you to get what we wanted. Now go your way. And he cast down the pieces of silver. It was meaningless to him at this point. And departed out and went and hanged himself. He repented, but he didn't go to the right source for repentance. He didn't go to the right source where he could get forgiveness. He didn't go to the right source where he could be shown mercy. Sometimes we acknowledge we've done wrong and we want to try to make it right, but we don't go to the right source to get it made right. He sought help from the right source. Even though he still didn't understand. He's been blindsided. He still doesn't understand it was Achan's sin. He just knows that for whatever reason, they had lost the power of God upon their lives. And so he repents, not knowing really what he's repenting of. He just repents and said, whatever it is, I'm sorry, I don't want... And he went back to the right source because he did it at the altar before the ark of God. Too many failed to seek help from God. sad, but some because they know why they have the problems and don't want to change. They know if they look to God or look to the church, look to the Bible, they'd have to change. They don't seek the right help to get the solutions to the problems. And then Joshua prayed or began to communicate with the Lord. Once he went through ashes, sign of repentance, at the ark of the Lord, go back with me to verse 7 there. This has all taken place. Now Joshua starts talking to God. When you talk to God, what are you doing? You're praying. Yeah. So Joshua began to communicate with the Lord, or he started praying to God. Which is good. Now I'm seeking the Lord. I'm going to the right source. I start communicating with God. That means that I want to hear what God has to say to me, as well as wanting to communicate to God what's going on in my life. When you seek the right source, you'll go to the source where you can communicate with the one you're looking to receive something from. That's the Bible. The Bible that we have is God's preserved word for humanity. It's God's mind. It has solutions to whatever it is that you're ever going to face in this life. Can I tell you, God already knows about it, and God has solutions, but his solutions are in his word, in his person. And he's established a church so we can get together like we are tonight and have a better understanding of the Bible, hear different things that we need to hear, learn things that we need to learn, apply things that we need to apply. So he starts communicating with the Lord. This is good. But he didn't say all the right things. He didn't truly believe a lot of what he just said. Did you have a problem with that as well? Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? He's asking that question. He doesn't believe that. He's asking that question like, is this a possibility? Joshua, you know you don't believe that. Have you ever questioning God? I mean, have you ever questioned your questioning of God? And that's what he was doing. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. It sounds like all the murmuring Israelites in the wilderness. You don't believe that. You don't believe that you'd had a better life if you would have stayed on the other side of Jordan and never entered into the promised land. You don't believe that. But you're asking God something that you know that you don't believe. This is Joshua. When you get blindsided and all these things are going on, sometimes we don't think clearly. Can you see that's what's happening here? He knows he still has faith. He knows that God is real. He's had too much experience with God. He knows that God is real. So that's why he's repentant, and he's going to the right source, but he's still very much confused and doesn't understand. He doesn't know what he should already know. And when you don't know what God's already revealed to you, or you've been blinded to what you should know already, then you're going to be confused in how you're even praying. And you start questioning God concerning things that you know is not true. He did say, "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it." And this is true. They're going to hear of this and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? Now he's putting it back on God and said, it's your name that's going to be thrown around and weakened. And they'll defeat us. And if they defeat us, then they defeated our God. So the question here. Is it better to not pray or pray even though you really don't know what you ought to say? Would he have been better off to just kept his mouth shut? Is it better to not pray or pray even though you really don't know what you ought to say? What would you tell your child? If you don't know what you want to ask me, then don't come to me. Would any parent really do that? Any godly parent ever do that? If you're confused, you don't understand, just come on over. We'll sit down. And let's discuss what's going on. I want you in my presence. I want you to open your ears to what I have to say. And even though you might not say the right things, I know you're coming to me, so I know your heart. I know you want to understand. I think every parent in here would tell their child, even though you don't know what to say, if you're confused, come and fellowship with me. Come and sit down and let's just kind of throw it all out there. Whatever's on your heart, I want to hear it. In God's case, he already knows what's on Joshua's heart. He already knows what's on Joshua's mind. We don't know that with our children, but when you come, get them talking, you know more about what's going on in their hearts. I love to hear our staff preach because it tells me what's going on inside of their heart. I love to call on them to pray because even hearing them pray, it helps me to understand what's going on in their hearts, where they're coming from. If you don't ever hear them, then you don't know. If you're never sitting around and going over things in a staff meeting, if you don't ever hear from them, you don't know what they're doing, don't know where they're coming from. But as long as you're together, and I ask questions to be able to get them to respond, and they're responding, then it helps me to better understand what's going on. The very same way it works in our own lives with our loved ones, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. Even though you might not know how to address it, and you might not know exactly what words to say, if you know that there's a problem there, I'm going to go to the right source and I'm just going to open my heart and my mind up and I want to communicate to be able to find the solutions. Because God has the solutions. Don't let Satan blind you to that. You see, this happened to Elijah. Right after his great defeat of all the prophets of Baal, calling fire down from heaven, he allowed one Jezebel to get him to run. Blindsided to the place where he looked to God and said, take my life. You know, God didn't kill him. God did not take, because God realized, and he knew where Elijah was coming from. God fed him, took care of him. After he gave him time to rest, lifted him up and sent him to do the work that God had him there to do. But he wasn't thinking right to start with. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you're not communicating with God, you're going to faint. If you don't find yourself in God's presence, you're going to faint. You're in God's presence. Really, when you come to church, this is, you're in His will, you're in His house, you're hearing from His word. We need it. We need it. You ought to always to come into God's presence. Always to seek help from the right source. Always look to apply what God has us to apply. Joshua was dismayed. And that's what he had been told not to do. Be not dismayed. It's the opposite of having courage, confidence, strength. From time to time, we are dismayed, especially when we're blindsided. Don't let that keep you from going to God and pouring out your heart and getting the help that God has for us. You have to be careful that you don't stay away from God, because hurting people hurt people. You really will. If you're hurting and you don't go to the right source, you'll hurt other people. You'll say things you really know you shouldn't say. Sometimes things you really don't want to feel, but you feel because you've been blindsided. Take it to the Lord. Find the help that God has for us and asking God to help us to know what we know. God knows. See, God was the only other one, except from Achan, that knew why they were defeated at Ai. And Joshua did right, even though he didn't understand everything that, that he needed to understand at the time, but he sought the right source. He communicated to the place. Or I love what the next verse says. We'll get into this next Sunday, next Wednesday. But it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Ding. That's a light bulb. Come on. And that made all the difference in the world. The light bulb would have never come on if he had not sought after the help that God had for him. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Our God is always there. The Bible has not changed. The Word of God remains for us to be helped and strengthened by. Even though you might not understand, you feel like you've been blindsided, seek the help that God has for you. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray now, God, that you'd help us to do just that, learn from Joshua, and then, God, look forward even to the next time we're able to assemble ourselves together and hear more messages from the powerful Bible that you have preserved for us. Pray now that you'd bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.